Have your Bibles. Turn with me.
Ephesians chapter number 2. I'm going to begin reading the first 3 verses and then keep your Bibles open and handy because I will be reading some further scripture. Ephesians 2 verse 1. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I'm going to stop now, right there. And that's interesting to note as I was preparing the sermon, as I went to the different writers, it's interesting the captions or the headings that they put above this portion of Scripture. Jake was a full gospel man, and he had as a caption, position of the sinner by nature. Thompson was a Methodist man, and his notes, he says, sinful state of man. Matthew Henry said, the walk of the dead. Dixon was a Baptist man, said, what we were by nature. And reality, these verses that I've just read gives a picture of every one of us before we got saved. A picture of everyone here today when we were living in sin before we accepted Christ as our personal Savior. He says the things that Paul has just outlined in this letter to the Ephesians. We read in the Bible that we are the offspring of our forefather Adam. Let me just have Bible study here real quickly. Adam was created by God, made by the Almighty God, and now there he was, made of the dust of the earth, of the clay of the earth, but he had no breath in him, and the Bible says, the Lord breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Let me leave this with you. The breath of God is life everlasting. And as long as Adam had the breath of God in his life, he had life. But when Adam sinned, he died. You said, Brother Jones, how can that be? He lived over 900 years. He was separated from God the moment he turned his back on God and disobeyed. Death is a separation from God. And this is the picture of you and me. And all the unsaved. Because of Adam's sin, the Bible says all of us were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. Paul said in the book of Romans, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There are preachers today preaching on television with tremendous numbers of people that say we never mention sin. I'm going to mention sin. Sin will doom your soul to hell. In fact, Paul goes on to say, we were dead in trespasses and sin. We were dead living men. Dead while we were alive. Dead without Christ. Ye were dead in trespasses and in sins. And here in this first verse, as Paul begins to lay it out, while we were in sin, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the power of the prince of the air. Paul said, when we were in sin, we were servants of Satan. We did not do the things that we wanted to do. We did what he wanted us to do. We marched to his drumbeat. We did his bidding. We were caught up with the lust of the flesh. We did those things that he would desire of us. We were in step with the world. Let me say this again today. When we were in sin, we were in step with the world, and we were on our way to eternity unprepared. But when we got saved, brother, we got turned around, and we were on our way to glory. When we were in sin, we were all lost and undone. Dead, Paul says, in sin. Let me stop right there for a moment. When you look back, we don't have a whole lot to be proud of. There's a man that goes to Golden Corral that was raised in Clinton. He found out that I was born in Clinton. I don't know him. He was Joyce used to work with him, and I don't remember his name even now, but he was lived in Clinton, and he asked where I was, what part of Clinton, or whatever I was born in, what had. But let me say this today. I thank God for a godly heritage of grandparents and parents that loved God, and my father-in-law and mother-in-law that were holiest folks, but I had nothing to brag about. Nothing. I was lost and undone. I was dead in trespasses and sins. I was a part of this world. Not a lot for which to be proud. The Bible says we were all guilty. We were all lost. We were all blinded to the truth. We were all without hope. We were all on our way to eternity unprepared. Let me stop again. That's not a very pretty picture. Paul says, and you had to quicken who were. I would like for you to underline that in your mind. These first three verses that I have read today is talking about what we were. I am glad today that I can announce I'm not what I were. Amen. When Misha was talking about, the young people were talking about how worshiping how great God is and what an awesome God and what a wonderful God and a loving God and all the rest. And that's tremendous. Without Him, we're nothing. Now, I want you to think of that right now. What we were. What we were. Where we come from. We were bound by sin. A lot of people have the idea because God made it all, that we're all the children of God. Don't you ever believe it? Jesus Himself said, those who are not saved, that they are children of the devil. Again, one of the leading ministers in America today, and has one of the largest churches in America, would never tell you that. But Jesus told us that. If we are without Christ, we are the children of the devil. Brother, that was my life. That was where I was living. That's where you were living. We did as the devil directed us. I never thought that I would go some of the places I went. I never thought I would do some of the things that I did. I never thought I would turn out to be the boy that I was in sin. I never had that in my mind when I left home to go into service. But I want you to know our past is not very pretty, but that's not the end of the story. There's another chapter. There's a present. I'm going to read the next two verses. Verses 4 and 5. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses and sins, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. Let me stop right. Let me read the next verse as well. And hath raised us together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I mentioned the first three verses as our past, but here I am today reading the next three verses. They were our past, but today we have a present. We have a new chapter, but God hath quickened. Let me say that again, verses 4 and 5. But God hath quickened. What does it mean, Brother Jones? But God has given new life. Right out here in Park Lawn Cemetery are the remains of Herbert and Roselle Jones, my parents. They are yonder in the spirit in the glory world, not having received that glorified body. But one of these days when that trumpet sounds, there's going to be some commotion out at Park Lawn. It's because of the great getting up morning. My mom and dad are going to come out of the grave with a glorified body. My mother died of cancer, but I want you to know she will never taste cancer again. Hallelujah. My past is not pretty, but thank God for the present. I've been redeemed by the blood. I've been saved by grace through faith. I've been kept by the power of God. Hallelujah. This year, February, right now, this month, February 2012, we've been saved for 57 years. And I'm here to tell everybody, everyone that will listen, this thing doesn't get old, it gets better. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Some people will say, where are the golden years? It seems like the golden years are not golden, so much golden. I've got arthritis and I've got this and I've got that. They're not so golden. Let me say this. If your heart is on fire for God, these are wonderful years. Amen. If you love God, whatever your age might be, thank God, I'm glad for the present. with what's going on in our home because of my wife's condition, in your home because of various sicknesses and disease, and even death, whatever comes our way, thank God for the present. I've been redeemed. I'm not the man that I was. I'm not the husband that I was. I'm not the father that I was. I've been saved by grace through faith. And now I'm on my way to heaven. Thank God for the present. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were deep in sin, but He reached out His hand and lifted us up. I read a song, a course, in the course book, and so I've got it here. I want to read it. Once my soul was astray from the heavenly way, and I was wretched and vile as could be. But my Savior in love gave me peace from above when He reached down His hand for me. I was near to despair when He came to me there, and He showed me that I could be free. Then He looked at my feet, gave me gladness complete when He reached down His hand for me. How my heart does rejoice when I hear His sweet voice. In the tempest to Him I then flee. There to lean on His arm, safe, secure from all harm, when He reached down His hand for me. I don't know about everyone else, but I know about me. I was in the horrible pit of sin, and I was deep in sin. And anyone that is in sin is too deep. I was deep in sin. Things that I've done, I would be glad that no one ever knew it. But listen closely. When I repented, that long arm of God reached down and reached down and reached down and kept on reaching down till He got a hold of my hand. And He lifted me out of sin. Hallelujah. Said, Brother Jones, why do you shout? Why do you get so loud? Because I'm excited. I was on my way to hell. But thank God for the present. I'm on my way to heaven, amen. I got turned around. Hallelujah, hallelujah. If anybody's got something to shout about, I'm one of them. Praise God, praise God. I wouldn't mind having a megaphone that everybody on Big Brother Road heard me. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I told you where we were. Where we were in. And the mess we were in, serving the devil. Thank God for the day we belong to the King. We've been brought out of sin into the glorious light of the gospel. Aren't you glad that somebody shared the gospel with you? And you accepted it in your heart. And He reached out His hand and invited you. And you said yes to the Lord, amen. And you came to Jesus and God said, Brother, we've got a present today to rejoice about. If you're saved right now, say amen. Amen. I'm going to give you a better chance. I caught you off guard. Everyone that's saved, say amen. Amen. That's better. Amen. Maybe we'll get them all if we do it one more time. Right. Maybe we'll get them all then. I don't know. I'm glad I'm saved. And I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed what one iota. I've been redeemed by the blood. He reached down His hand for me. We were servants to sin, but we've been set free. We've been emancipated. I don't know. I waver between my thinking as to who was the greatest president that we've ever had. Sometimes I think it was George Washington, when you read of his life. Then I think it's Abraham Lincoln, a man that was not educated at all in the public world or school system or what have you, very uneducated, but a self-educated man. Tremendous. Even Ronald Reagan, another one that I have a book concerning him, his life story, how that he was led our country, and I thank God, but I don't know whether I have a favorite when I read of the life story, but listen to this if you will. When Abraham Lincoln signed that Emancipation Proclamation and the slaves were set free in America, that all slaves are to be free. I'm glad that I can understand what happened to the slaves in that day because I was a slave. I was a slave to sin. I had a master that was hard on me. His name was the devil. I'm glad that one day Jesus signed my pardon, hallelujah, and signed my proclamation for emancipation, and I've been set free. And the Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed, hallelujah. The devil has no ties on me today, not on my arm, not on my neck, not on my feet. I've been set free, hallelujah. Well, glory, that's something to shout about. I've been brought out of the prison house, out of bonds, out of chains, and set free by the power of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. We were caught up with the things of the world, Paul says, but are now citizens of a heavenly city. We who were far off have now been brought nigh by the blood of Jesus. We who at one time were in love with the world and was out there to satisfy our flesh and the desires that we had are now, the Bible says, are set together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. If you're saved this morning, you've got something to rejoice about. You've got something to be happy about. Praise God, praise God. When Paul said, we have been made to sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Some people have never understood that. Never been able to comprehend it. Did you know this morning, seated right where you are, in this sanctuary, you are able to sit together right now in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, where He is heavenly. I don't mind telling you this right now. Mary Jane, Jesus is right there beside you. And when you go home and you think about Jay, not knowing what's going to happen, what the future holds, thank God for the present. He's right there. If I can give encouragement to everyone here, whatever you're going through, whatever you go through, if you serve God, He'll be there. I can't promise you any more than that. But brother, I promise you the greatest of the Bible, He'll be there. Thank God for the present. I have nothing to, when I look back in my life, how I was, how we were in sin, there's nothing to shout about. But when I see where we are today, saved by grace, on our way to heaven, our lives have been changed completely, our sins have been forgiven, our names have been written down in glory. Brother, right where we are today in the present life, we've got something to rejoice about. Don't wait until you get to heaven to enjoy the things of God. Enjoy them now. You know what I've got right now? That you can't buy at JCPenney nor Walmart. I have the peace of God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I have the victory. Paul said when he's writing to the Corinthians, always, we're always triumphant in Christ. Not just when we're on the mountaintop, we're always triumphant. I've got victory today. You can't buy that. Not in their Sears or anywhere else. Victory. What are you saying, preacher? Thank God for the present. But Brother Jones, so many things are going on in the world. I wouldn't be a bit surprised, and you can mark this down, and I haven't received any special word from heaven. You can mark this down. I believe, this is what I believe. I believe before, if the Lord tarries, before this year is out, there'll be a war like we haven't seen. And I believe it will come between Islam, Christianity, and Judaism. Iran is out, and I'm not going to take any time here, is destroying not only Israel, but America. And not only that, they're out to destroy Christianity. There's going to be a war. I know there's going to be a war. It's in the Bible. It's going to be a difficult time on this world, in this world. But I want everyone to understand, whatever happens, whatever transpires, if you've got the Lord in your heart, if the Lord is by your side, if you know you're saved, you've got something to rejoice about. The present. But there's three parts of the sermon today. How we were. If you are still in sin today, that is a picture of you. You are dead in trespasses and sins. And the reason that you are dead in trespasses and sins is because Jesus Christ, who is the life, is not in your heart. 14th chapter of John says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the life. If I have Jesus, I have life. If I don't have Jesus, I don't have life. Speaking of spiritual life, how we were was without Christ, we were dead. How we are today, we've been saved by the blood. We've been given new life, given a new start in life. I will use an illustration quickly and then I'll come to the third point. I messed up when I was in the service, and I've mentioned this before, but I had just recently, we went to when the Korean War broke out, 1950, in the month of June, and my air wing or whatever was transferred to Japan, and I made a stripe. I was a corporal, made corporal early that year, and then I made another stripe right after we got to Japan, and I was a sergeant, we called it Buck Sergeant, and I messed up. I worked in the radio station, and the doors were locked, and no one could come in, and it was nighttime, in the middle of the night, and my receiver was off frequency, and those boys that were flying in the B-29s over Korea and dropping the bombs, and the radio operator was sending their strike reports, and my receiver was off frequency, and I did not pick up any. And I wasn't hearing a thing, so evidently I went to sleep. And when some boys landed and they came straight to the radio station and they were pounding on the door, and I went to the door and they were all upset, and one of them placed charges against me that I was sleeping on duty. Now, he doesn't know that because I was by myself. And I didn't tell him. The doors had locked. No one could see inside. Radio station. But I was placed on confinement to the barracks. I could go to the mess hall. But that's it. And I was so sure that I was going to lose the three stripes that I had at that time. And when I wrote my mother, I put the return address, Private Glenn Jones. I didn't tell her one thing that was happening, but I was sure that that's going to be what's happened. I was going to lose whatever I had. And something happened. My buddy that worked in the radio station, a ground radio operator, he wasn't on duty that night, but he was a friend of the boy that was a radio operator in the B-29s that pressed charges. And so Puckett went to this boy and talked to him about dropping the charges. And one day, he came and told me that he was no longer pressing charges and I was let off the hook. Now, that might not seem very much to you, but that meant a lot to me. It was like as if he came to my rescue. I had really thought that I was going to be in the service and I was going to make it a career and I was going to stay 20 years. And now here it is. I'm going to lose the three stripes that I have. And he came and told me that I'm going to drop the charges. I could have hugged his neck. I believe I shook his hand instead. But listen closely. It was a whole lot worse when I was in sin. I lost more. I was losing more than three stripes. I was losing my very eternal soul. I was losing everything. That's the past. Thank God the day that I'm saved. This is the present. And I'm rejoicing in the Lord. And I'm happy in the Lord. And I don't have any complaints. Brother Jones, what you're going through in the church and this and that, and so many things are happening and people are sick, and we need a revival, and we do. But Brother Jones, so many things are happening in the world in the midst of it all. Thank God that Jesus is alive. And then I'm going to read the verse 4 again, 5, 6, and 7 this time. 4 through 7. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace you are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. I mentioned how we were in sin. I mentioned how it is today in the present because we're saved and been quickened and given a new life. But there's one more thought in these verses. There is a wonderful future for the children of God waiting for us out yonder from time to time. Somebody's running for elected office and they say, and they stand on the stump and they said, I believe America's days are the better days are just ahead. I believe our best days are just ahead. Listen closely. That might not necessarily be so. The Bible says in the last days there will be perilous times. The Bible says that men's hearts will, how men will be so wicked that they will, how does it say, they will wax worse and worse. We're coming down to the end. I can't promise you tomorrow's going to be better than today in this world. But I can promise you if you'll serve God, there's a future. We have been made to sit together in heavenly places here. But brother, there's coming a time when we're going to be with Him forever and forever. In that seventh verse. In that seventh verse. Tom, have you got it open right now? Have you got that seventh verse? Read it out loud.
That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness towards us through Christ Jesus.
In the ages to come, in the future, He might show us the glories that were His before He ever came to this world. We're going to sense and see what the Lord has done for us, what He laid aside when He came to this world to die for us. And we're going to see the glories of the Lord. And I mentioned a while ago in the 7th chapter of Revelation how that we're going to stand around the throne singing praises unto the Lord. Don't you know it's going to be something? I get excited now in the congregation like this. I get excited when the Lord is in our midst and blessing us and touching our lives. Don't you know it's going to be something when we're standing around the throne of glory? Hallelujah. And I look around and there's 10 times 10,000 over here and 10,000 times 10,000 over here. And 10,000 times 10,000 back there. Everywhere you see people saved by the blood and they're singing praises unto the Lord. Hallelujah. I want to be there. We've got a future. This is not all. He said that He might show us the riches of His glory. Oh, that He's... Listen. He's going to prepare a place for us. Somebody said, it's taken 2,000 years. In one moment of time, He spoke the world into existence. He went back to heaven 2,000 years ago. He said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'm going to come back and take you out of here this world to be with me. Listen, if He made the earth in one moment's time, how beautiful heaven must be if He's working on it for 2,000 years. And somewhere, and I'm going to close, somewhere in that heaven, there's a place for me. Maybe when we enter heaven, He's going to say, Glenn, come over here to Abundant Life Boulevard. And He stops in front of a place that He's prepared for me. My wife and I used to sing a song that was not scriptural. Lord, build me a cabin in the corner of Glory Land. When I stand in the presence of God and I look up off of Abundant Life Boulevard to see where He has prepared a place for me, it will not be a cabin. If the Lord made it, it's going to be something.
Right.
I can see it now. Got my name on it. It was built for me. It's mine. I've shown you my past. Nothing to brag about. The present is ours and we can rejoice in the Lord. But we are just beginning.
Right.
Sometimes we've had weddings in this church and we've had some to sing, we have only just begun. And that's the way I feel this morning. We have just begun. Heaven is going to be eternal. It's never going to grow old. It's going to be wonderful. The music is going to be out of this world. Heavenly. Every one of us in that day. Everybody. Singing around the throne of glory, don't you know it's going to be something? And when we begin to sing, thanking the Lord for saving us, I can see the angelic host stepping back.
Glory to God.
to honor Him, knowing nothing about salvation, but we're going to be singing praises unto the Lamb. My wife has come to the piano. I've shown you how we lived in the past, how we were without God, how we are today having been saved. And if you're saved right now, you can rejoice. And if you'll stay saved and keep on serving God, we've got a future like man has never known before. A future that is so tremendous that it's hard for us even to begin to imagine. And while she's playing softly, I get excited. They tell you when you get older, don't get too excited about your heart. I don't know how to keep from getting excited. So I'm just going to get excited. What are you saying, preacher? When that trumpet sounds, and all of a sudden, I feel this body being changed. If I had any idea what it's going to be like, I would share it with you. But it's going to be better than anything I can imagine. Anything I can imagine. We've got a past, but it's not pretty. We've got a present, and we've got the present today with the Lord in our hearts. And we've got a future if we'll serve Him. The future is ours with the Lord. Will you stand together?